So John 16, verses 4 to 15, and we're going to be starting halfway through verse 4, just where the break is. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For I do not go away, the helper will not. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you all into the truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you.
Well, thank you very much, Sophie, for reading. And good afternoon, everyone. A very warm welcome to these Next Lunchtime Talks. If we've not met before, my name's Tom. I'm on the staff team here at Next, and it's great to have you with us this lunchtime. Now, I was batting in a cricket net near Guildford a few years ago when suddenly I was offered a job. The job was one in sales, on which more just in a moment, but while warming up for this match, I was offered a job. Now, I think I must have recently shared something of the gospel with this teammate. Maybe I'd sort of told him what I did as a job. I guess I'd probably tried to say something about Jesus. You know, I tried to share my faith, though obviously, as you will see, I hadn't done a particularly good job. And my teammate said he wanted me to sell these payment systems for him, automated payment systems. That was the job, the kind that scan your number plate as you drive out of one of those multi-story car parks. He was in the industry, and he offered me this job. Now, you don't need me to tell you that I don't currently sell car park payment systems. I was very flattered by the offer, but I immediately turned down the job. And if I'm being honest, I'm not sure you would have seen my work around your local car park, because I've discovered recently that I've got a phone voice that really winds people up, and so actually I think I would have been terrible at the job. But I do know why he offered me the job selling car park payment systems in this sales team. I can remember why he offered me the job. He told me that he wanted me because selling Christianity was without doubt the toughest sales job. I can actually remember him saying it to me. You know, he said to me, if you can sell Jesus and people actually come along, if you're still in a job, then why don't you come and sell car park payment systems with me? And as I say, I was very flattered. Now, as I say, the irony is I clearly hadn't been that great at selling Christianity, which is actually my job. The offer of forgiveness at the heart of Christianity is something that we all need, isn't it? It's actually quite an easy job, selling Christianity, compared to selling automated payment systems. And yet, I think he put his finger on what many of us feel if we're followers of Jesus about our job, about speaking to people about Jesus, about bearing witness to Jesus. It feels, doesn't it, so often like a fruitless and a thankless kind of a job. I mean, we're here, aren't we, at the start of a new year, a new academic year at least. And I'm conscious that there are many of us who have been in this room trying to share the gospel with colleagues for years or decades, and there really has been no discernible fruit. It just seems so pointless, speaking of Jesus. It seems like such a thankless kind of a job. The world just seems so hostile. People haven't got any time for Jesus. It is a draining and a discouraging kind of a job. At least, that's what I sometimes think. Well, this lunchtime, we're looking at some famous words from Jesus as he sends out his disciples with this job. And he sends them out to bear witness, to speak about him, these disciples. And yet he does so with a great promise from God. I mean, just cast your eyes down to verse 26, which is the end of the previous chapter. Chapter 15, verse 26. When the Helper comes, says Jesus, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also, disciples, will bear witness. Or look down again at verse 7, which is in our passage today. If or when I go, says Jesus, I will send the Helper to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, says Jesus, because they don't believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. At this lunchtime, we are going to see how Jesus, with his Father, is still acting to save this dying world. This lunchtime, I want us to see how we can still be confident to speak about Jesus with colleagues, even when it's really difficult to do so at work. And you'll see that from the handout, the big answer is the Spirit. That is how Jesus is currently at work in the world. And as we share the gospel Jesus gave to these first disciples, he is still at work to give life to the world. So there are two promises Jesus makes that I've put down there on the handout. The first of them is this: the Spirit will convict the world. In John's gospel, the world refers to non-Christian humanity, that is, humanity in rebellion against God. By world, Jesus means our colleagues, those who are hostile to Jesus' followers, perhaps. The world that hates Jesus and hates God. But Jesus says when he goes, he will send his Holy Spirit, and his Spirit, this helper, verse 7, will be active in the world. He says he'll send his Spirit. That's what Jesus means by the helper. And he says his Spirit will convict or persuade the world. That's what it says in verse 8, isn't it? The Spirit will convict the world, verse 8, concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Let's start by thinking briefly about sin. He'll show the world its sin because, verse 9, they don't believe in me. And there is no greater telltale sign of sin, is there? You know, unbelief in Jesus shows an apathy towards God, a willful ignorance, perhaps even an arrogance. It shows we think we are all right, we don't need Jesus' rescue. It displays a total disregard for God. After all, Jesus was God's Son walking on earth. How can you possibly claim to care anything about God if you willingly reject him? And Jesus says his Spirit will convict the world that it is sinful. He'll convict the world that it has ignored God. And Jesus says his Spirit will convict the world that that is serious. It is a serious thing, an awful thing, to rebel against God. Second, he'll convict of righteousness, verse 10, because, says Jesus, I go to the Father. In other words, I take it, he's saying the Spirit is going to show the world the sort of moral standard of God. He'll show us that we don't live up to Jesus' perfect standards, that there exists this great sort of chasm between me and God. We desperately need his forgiveness for the ways we've rejected him. Thirdly, relatedly, verse 11, he will convict the world concerning judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. You may never have thought about this, but the Bible says that as Jesus died upon the cross, he did something decisive to evil. He proved, once and for all, that evil scheming will not win. He did something to Satan the prince, the ruler of the world, who is this archetypal liar. And he made clear, dying on the cross, that Satan's lies are never going to win. You know, it is never a good idea to rebel against God. That was Satan's lie. That's the root cause of all of our sin. But he's judged now and defeated. He's awaiting final judgment. There'll be punishment for all evil and sin. Now, let's take a step back. Can you see the great endeavor of God's Spirit in God's world? Can you see it? The Spirit that Jesus says, verse 7, is going to be sent by him. Can you see how Jesus is working today by his Spirit in the world? It is to show the world, is it not, that the world desperately, desperately needs him. Verse 7, I tell you the truth. It is to your good that I go away. I mean, think about it for a moment. I'll only seek eternal life if I know I'm perishing. Or freedom, perhaps, if I know I'm enslaved to sin. I'll only seek forgiveness, won't I, if I think there's a coming judgment. To become a Christian, I've got to own my sin. I've got to recognize that I need forgiveness from God. And here then is God's Spirit. He now works, says Jesus, within God's world to convict people that they are enslaved to sin, to show them they need Jesus, show them there is a coming judgment, to draw people in their thousands, millions, billions to him. Now, I think this takes the pressure off, don't you, as we labor for Jesus? It is not, in other words, within our power to convict people of their sin. It's not within our power to do this bit. This is the work of Jesus. This sort of deep heart-level conviction, is something that we have just got to leave to him. Just as an aside, that is one of the reasons why, if you're sort of working in this area of the city, we'd absolutely love you to join us for our partnership groups this year. You'll see notice number 2 down there on the handout. Partnership is just a chance to really gather together in little groups and reflect on what we've been learning week on week from the Bible. But also, importantly, it is a chance to gather and to pray. And to pray God would work within the world. Pray he'd work within our colleagues to bring them an awareness of their sin. I really hope you'll join us if you're able. Well, Jesus says that is why he sent his Spirit to the earth. He'll convict the world, verse 9, concerning sin. He'll convict the world of righteousness and that there is a coming judgment. He will work according to the sovereign plan of him. That is, according to the sovereign plan of our Creator God. And yet, that doesn't make me want to really share the gospel, does it? I mean, if that's the case, the Spirit's going to convict the world, why don't I just leave all the hard yards to him? Of course, that on its own doesn't make me want to speak out for the gospel. It is the Spirit's work, we've said, to convict people of sin. But here's the point, the second heading down there on the handout. How is he going to convict the world of sin? Well, he'll do it, says Jesus, through the word of God that he gave to these first apostles. It is the word of God. In Ephesians 5 language, that is the sword of him. The word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Now, in John's gospel, Jesus has already actually made this point. You'll see it on the handout. Chapter 6, the Spirit, he has said, works through the words of him. The words that I've spoken to you, says Jesus, are spirit and life. That is how the Spirit's going to work in the world, through my words. And I think that best explains why verse 12 follows in the context. Remember, Jesus has said his spirit is going to convict the world of sin. Here's what he says next, verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. Whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Oh, Jesus has ensured there is an error-free record of all God wants to say to this, our world. The Spirit, verse 13, acted to guide these first apostles into truth from God. That is, he gave them Jesus' words. He ensured there was no error, no omissions, verse 13. The apostles, these 11 apostles, got the very words of God. He guided them into the truth. He gave them words from Jesus, and they wrote out for us the very words of God, what we've got in our Bibles. It's why at all of our meetings at St. Nick's, there is a focus on the Bible. We are confident, because of these verses, that what it says here is true. That's why a Christian ministry that is full of the Spirit will obviously be focused on the truth. The Bible, verse 14, it's very interesting how Jesus speaks about the Holy Spirit, verse 13 even. He is the Spirit of truth. But here's the point. God still works today within the world by, verse 13, his Spirit. And he works by his Spirit to convict people that what he said then is true. He takes these words from Jesus, given first to the apostles, and then he makes them come alive to people like me and like you. Maybe you can remember the time when that happened for you in your own life. You know, you'd heard the gospel before, but then one day it's like the lights came on and you just knew it was true. You might have had the privilege of seeing that in others. Jesus giving life, bringing them to see that the gospel is true. And all of that, says Jesus, is a product of the Spirit. The Spirit, verse 13, the Spirit of truth. He takes these words of Jesus, given first to the apostles, and he makes them come alive to people like me and you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Do you believe that? If so, that is a sign that the Spirit has been working in you. Now, to come back to the start and to that generous job offer, I was very flattered, genuinely. I think that's pretty much the only time I've ever been offered a job, and I was very flattered by it. But thinking about it a bit more, I'm not sure I'd have known what to do, because for people like me who just sell Jesus, in the language of my teammate, life is staggeringly simple. Open up the Bible and see what God will do. Someone I know puts it like this: if I have an open Bible and I have a willing colleague, there are three of us involved within that room. There's me, and there's my colleague, and there is the Holy Spirit. And who knows what the God who loves the world will do? Verse 7, one last time. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Verse 13. I'm going to send, says Jesus, the Spirit of Truth. As we begin another year, I know speaking for Jesus is difficult in the office. That is just plainly true. And people are angry with Jesus. There's antipathy. People are really ignorant about Jesus. And it's very hard to speak about Jesus with colleagues, however often you've done it before. I don't think it gets that much easier. But can you see the promise? He, that is the Spirit, will convict the world, says Jesus, that it is sinful. He will do in people's lives exactly what he has done for me and for you. As we speak truth to colleagues, we will find salvation for the sinful as God does what he purposed before the creation of the world he was going to do. The Lord God will save people. He will save those who are dying. He will do to other people what he has done to me and you. So be confident and be Christian and share the good news of the gospel, because God's Spirit will be working as you do. Let me pray as we close. Our Father, we want to thank you so much this lunchtime for opening our own blind eyes and for enabling us to see. And we want to pray, Father, that you would do the same thing for very many people in this city, enable them to perceive their own sin clearly and to see what a wonderful Saviour we have in the Lord Jesus. So please, Father, give us confidence to speak, and by your Spirit work powerfully as we do. And we pray it all in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.